Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you again that you brought us here today. We pray for those that can't be with us today for health reasons or other reasons. We pray, Father, that you'll be looking after them, encouraging them, and perhaps bring them tonight to night church tonight. Father, we pray and thank you that we are here. And we ask that now by your Holy Spirit that your living word will do its work. Father, open our hearts to receive your word, your living word, Father. Please further use it today, we pray, to shape us as your people. And we ask in Jesus' name, amen. Now, if you were here last week, you might remember I said that a couple of weeks ago our air conditioner broke down and that we'd arranged someone to come and fix it. And that was to happen last Monday. And my fear was this, you might remember, and I'll say it again because some of us weren't here last week. My fear was, as the air conditioner mechanic came, they'd fix the problem, but it would unearth another problem. Why? Well, because the machine is 14 years old. Fix one problem, but create another. And I said that to remind us about Romans 9, verses 1 to 13. The word of God has not failed. And it will not fail. God always works in saving people by election. He chooses people, chooses individuals to work in and through. He chose Sarah, and not Hagar. He loved Jacob, hated Esau. He's chosen us, not my brother, perhaps, for example, or my mother, as an example. And we think, yeah, okay, the word of God won't fail. God always works by election. But it all sounds so unfair, doesn't it? God choosing one and not another. God loving Jacob, loving and hating Esau. It all sounds so fair. One problem solved, yep, God's word won't fail. We are secure in Christ. But another's created. Sounds like the justice of God is in question. There's a leak. There's a problem with the air conditioner, spitting water. Well, the mechanic came and fixed the problem. And as you know, the weather's been very mild since then, and we haven't had to use the air conditioner since then, except for 5 minutes to check that it worked. And it does work, and thankfully there's no other problem. One problem fixed, and it was all fine. But there's still the problem here, isn't there? Or perceived problem for us at least. Yep, the word of God won't fail. God keeps his promises. He works by electing people. But it still sounds unfair, doesn't it? And the Apostle Paul anticipates that very question. Why did God choose Sarah and not Hagar? Why did God love Jacob and hate Esau? It sounds pretty random, doesn't it? It seems unfair to us. And the Apostle anticipates that question. Romans 9, verse 14. What then shall we say? Is God unjust in choosing some to save and others not to save? Is God unjust? That's what it feels like, doesn't it? God's answer? Not at all. Not at all. And the apostle explains that with some quotes from the book of Exodus. And the first one is this. For he says to Moses, I will have mercy on whom I have mercy. I'll have compassion on whom I have compassion. It does not therefore depend on human desire or effort, but on God's mercy. Now, this is a quote from Exodus 33, which was our first reading this morning. And we see there God showing mercy. And mercy has more to do with God withholding what is deserved for our sin. Mercy has more to do with God showing compassion and withholding judgment, which is what we deserve for our sin. Grace, on the other hand, is more God giving us what is not deserved. Sometimes mercy and grace is used interchangeably, but mercy is more withholding, God withholding judgment from us. Grace is giving us what we don't deserve, eternal life, forgiveness. And we see here in Exodus 33, God is showing mercy to his people, the Israelites. Let's think about what happened. God rescued his people out of Egypt, brought them to Mount Sinai. Moses went up to meet with God. And what did the people do while Moses was away?
Made a golden calf.
Exodus 32, if you don't know the story. Totally rejected the God who had saved them. Now, what could have God done at that point? He could have wiped them totally from the face of the earth. And that would have been fair, wouldn't it? That's justice, isn't it? They'd revolted against the Lord. God could have wiped them out. But what did God decide to do? He decided to show mercy. He withheld that punishment that they deserved. Now, we might think God choosing people sounds unfair, choosing one and not the other. But the reality is, it's the wrong question. See, if we want justice in how God relates to people, if we say, God, it's not fair in how you relate to people, if we want justice in how God does relate to people, then all of us, everybody, would be condemned and judged. We'd all die in our sin and be lost forever. See, God choosing people's got nothing to do with justice. If we want justice, then we'd all be condemned. See, it's the wrong question we're thinking about. The wrong question. Now, to help us think about this, think of Mr. Bean. Now, I think perhaps all of us have heard of Mr. Bean, a pretty oddball British comedian. Now, there's a particular episode which kind of, I hope, reinforces what we're talking about here. There's an episode, and this picture is a bit not great, but this is an episode where Mr. Bean is doing an exam, and he's there talking to the person next to him before the exam starts. And he's feeling pretty confident. He says, I studied trigonometry. And the other person says, oh, I thought this was a calculus exam. Oh, I studied trigonometry. Mr. Bean, they both turn the paper over. And Mr. Bean's in shock. It's not trigonometry. He's got the wrong area prepared. It's on calculus. And the episode goes on, as only Mr. Bean can, tries to remedy the problem and pass the exam. See, when we talk about fairness in God's, it's unfair, God, for you to choose people, it's the wrong question. Mr. Bean, wrong area to study. We've got the wrong question. We want justice with God, then we all should be wiped out because of our sin. But God decides to show mercy, to withhold judgment from the Israelites. And in that, he shows his glory. From Exodus 33. Then Moses said, show me your glory. After God says, okay, I'm not going to wipe you all out, Moses asked God, show me your glory. God says, I'm going to stick with you. Moses says, show me your glory. And the Lord said, I will cause all my goodness to pass in front of you, and I will proclaim my name, the Lord, in your presence. I will have mercy on whom I will have mercy, and I will have compassion on whom I will have compassion. See, in the mercy shown to the Israelites, the Lord showed his goodness. In withholding judgment from them, he showed his glory. In the Lord withholding judgment on us, in Christ, we see his goodness as well. Doesn't depend on your effort or my effort, as it says at the end of verse 16. All depends on God's mercy. The reason that you and I are sitting here this morning is only because of God's mercy. He's withheld his judgment from us. Led us to Christ. Nothing to do with our choice. If it was to do with us, we wouldn't be here. And God would have wiped us out already. Or could have wiped us out and deserved. We want justice in how God relates. God, it's unfair for you to choose. Well, we want justice. No one will be saved. God decided in his mercy to save some. And wonderfully, we are part of that. Now, there's a flip side to that. God in his kindness shows mercy. The flip side to that is actually God hardening people's hearts. And we see it here in next verse 17. For scripture says to Pharaoh, I raised you up for this very purpose, that I might display my power in you and that my name might be proclaimed in all the earth. Therefore, God has mercy on whom he wants to have mercy, and he hardens those whom he wants to harden. Now, in Exodus 4, it says, the Lord hardened Pharaoh's heart. Later on, Pharaoh hardened his own heart, and when Moses came to him and said, let my people go, Pharaoh said, no, who are you? Who's your God? God, the Lord hardened Pharaoh's heart, so he would not let the people go. And why? Why was Pharaoh's heart hardened? Why did he disobey God? Look at verse 17. I raised you up for this very purpose, that I might display my power in you and that my name might be proclaimed in all the earth. Why has God shown mercy to you and I? So he gets the praise and the glory. Why did God harden Pharaoh's heart? So the Lord gets the praise and the glory. See, in Exodus 9, this is after six plagues. The Lord says, for by now, this is the Lord speaking to Pharaoh, for by now I could have stretched out my hand and struck you and your people with a plague that would have wiped you off the earth. See, with the plagues in Egypt, it wasn't as if Pharaoh and the Lord were fighting and there was an intense battle going on. And then, oh, wow, phew, God just wins with the 10th plague, the death of the firstborn. It's not like that at all. The Lord, with one plague, could have wiped Pharaoh and Egypt off the face of the earth. Why didn't he? Ever thought why there are 10 plagues? Here's the answer. I raised you up for this very purpose, that I might show my power and that my name might be proclaimed in all the earth. There are 10 plagues so the Lord could display his power. And this has been answered. We're talking about it, aren't we, now? Those plagues in Egypt so long ago. His name has been proclaimed in all the earth. See, this verse here, verse 16, is the verse from that the Apostle Paul quotes. Why 10 plagues? So God's glory would be displayed. And have you ever thought, why did it take so long for the Lord to send his son? Why didn't, like in Genesis 3, sin enters the world? And I've often thought, why didn't God send his son in Genesis 4 to solve fully and finally the problem of sin? Why didn't God do that? Well, this is the answer. God works in all his mercy showing and his hardening, so his name is honored more and more. God works so the most praise can go to his name. That's why we have the whole Old Testament, God preparing the way for the Messiah to come. That's why there's a delay until he returns. That's why he's at work showing mercy and hardening hearts now. Why? For his glory. And you know, when we pray about things for healing and for help and for hope, we pray, Lord, do whatever it takes. Bring healing or bring perseverance in difficulty so the most glory goes to you. That's the big picture of what God is doing. Bringing glory to his name. Is God unfair in choosing some? The answer is no. It's got nothing to do with justice. We want justice, then everybody would be condemned in their sin forever. And God's at work, showing mercy and hardening hearts for his glory. Harden Pharaoh's heart. Harden the Jews' hearts. Hardens other people's hearts that don't believe. And then that raises another question, doesn't it? Why does God still blame us? If God's at work hardening people's heart, if God does that and so they can't believe, they can't obey God, well, why are they still blamed? Why are we blamed? We do the wrong thing if our hearts have been hardened. That's really unfair, isn't it? God hardens people, they can't obey, they don't obey, and yet they're still condemned. How unfair is that? Well, the apostle again anticipates that question. One of you will say to me, then why does God still blame us? Who is able to resist his will? Someone's hardened. No freedom there, is there? Who can resist that? The answer? Who are you? A human being to talk back to God. Get back in your bag, the Apostle Paul is saying. Who are you? A creature to talk back to the Creator. Sounds a bit like Job, doesn't it? If you know a bit about, if you read the book of Job, Job questions God. God, this seems unfair. God, answer me. Answer me. And the Lord does answer Job, doesn't he? Job 38 and 39. What does the Lord say to Job? Where were you when I made the world? Where were you when a mountain goat gave birth? Where were you when I laid out the heavens? The same word is the word to us. Who are we? As creatures to question God. And as it goes on, shall what is formed say to the one who formed it, why did you make me like this? Does not the potter have the right to make out of the same lump of clay some pottery for special purposes and some for common use? We say, this is unfair. Well, God's the potter. Totally fair. He's got the right, hasn't he? He's the potter. He's got the right. Verse 22, what if God, although choosing to show his wrath and make his power known, bore with great patience the objects of his wrath, prepared for destruction? What if he did this to make the riches of his glory known to the objects of his mercy, whom he prepared in advance for glory, even us, whom he also called, not only from the Jews, but also from the Gentiles? See, God is the master potter. And God's at work making two kinds of pots. Now, here's a pot. Compared to what I'm going to show you, this is beautiful, okay? So this may not look too beautiful, but imagine this is the work of the master potter. Imagine it much more elaborate than that. It's on display, and we go, wow, isn't that great? The master potter has been at work. God is at work having mercy on some, and we go, wow. Now, I didn't have an old pottery pot at home, but I've got this old ice cream container with old paint. And I'm sure you get the picture. This one, well, it's had paint and it's starting to crack. It's probably useful for only putting rubbish in, and you throw it out, don't you? God's at work hardening people's heart, and then they're destroyed. They have that punishment forever. See, God's at work showing mercy. God's at work hardening hearts. Why? In the end, Again, it's all for his glory. So he gets the praise that he deserves. Let's go to the next one. Thanks, Andrew. I'm not sure why it's frozen there. Just keep going through them. Thanks, Andrew. Okay. Just the next one, thanks. I'm not sure. Just seems to have a life of his own at the moment. Okay. So as we look around this morning, we are like this beautiful pot. And we say, wow, isn't God amazing? God has shown mercy to Mark and withheld his punishment from him. Wow, isn't God amazing? God has shown mercy to Rachel with withheld punishment from her. So have a look around each other. We are the work of the master potter. God has been at work showing mercy to us. We go, wow, isn't God amazing? Now, I've got a slide here somewhere which says, put your name in. Here we go. Isn't God amazing? He has shown mercy. And you put your name there. And spared me from the judgment that I deserved. God is amazing, isn't it? Shown mercy to us. Not we don't deserve it, but he's shown mercy to us and opened our eyes and led us to Jesus. We say, God, unfair? Choose some and not others? No. God's at work showing mercy and hardening hearts for his glory. What, does God still blame us? If God's hardened your heart, you can't do anything about that. We say, God the potter has the right. That's the only way it's fair, isn't it? He's the right. And he's at work showing mercy and hardening hearts for his glory. Just over 4 years ago, we had the privilege of going on some long service leave, which I've mentioned that before. And one particular Sunday evening, we were heading to a place for church, running late. We got there, and it was for the evening church. It was in the bottom of an old church building. And we got there late, and there were five of us, and we almost doubled the size of the congregation. And it was cold and wet, and it was an English-speaking service. We looked it up beforehand. And we got there and started singing. But the words on the screen weren't the same as what the guitarist was singing. And there was sort of mass confusion. And then the microphone wasn't working properly. And I thought, what kind of church is this? I kind of felt good and bad. I felt good and say, oh, churches everywhere have problems with technology. And at the same time, I was feeling quite proud and saying, well, back at Eaglevale, we're not as bad as this. Other things are happening as well. But then the preacher got up, and I heard one of the most amazing sermons I'd ever heard. And God put me back in my place. It was on this God being the potter. I had no place for pride. And as we conclude this morning, let's keep these two images in mind. God is the potter. He's shaped us. He's chosen us. He's shown mercy to us. And he's also at work hardening hearts for his glory. And our response is to be responding with humility. Who are we to put ourselves above God and say to God, God, you should work this way? Who are we? Who are we? There's a prayer here that we'll say together in a moment. And I want you to read it through just to yourselves. And there is it's not quite right. Now, it's based on Psalm 115. In that context, it's pretty right. But in the wider context of the whole of Scripture, not to us, Lord, not to us, but to your name be the glory because of your mercy and compassion. What else does the Lord say he does for his glory in this passage? Sorry? Yeah, that's mercy and compassion, yeah? And hardening hearts. So we'll say this prayer together and we'll add at the end, and the hardening of hearts, to give the picture from this is what Romans 9 is about. Let's say this together. Not to us, Lord, not to us, but to your name be the glory, because of your mercy and compassion and hardening of hearts. Once more together. Not to us, Lord, not to us, but to your name be the glory, because of your mercy and compassion and hardening of hearts. Let's continue in prayer. Dear Father, please enable us to walk humbly before you and humbly accept this truth. You are God. You are the great potter. We are the clay. Keep molding us and shaping us. Remind us, Father, that we are here today understanding who you are and your Son only because you have chosen us. You've shown us mercy. We don't deserve it. We only stand and believe because of your kindness and compassion to us. And so again, Father, not to us, Lord, not to us, but to your name be the glory because of your mercy and compassion and your hardening of hearts. And we ask in Jesus' name. Amen.